going to one of the other two classes. Susan's been kind enough to play next week for the next 2 weeks, so she'll be playing piano. So I appreciate everyone kind of juggling over the next couple weeks while we're gone. So let me go ahead and continue in our study as we start talking about spiritual fitness, right? We've been going through the study. We're getting down to the end. We got two more left, and hopefully these are things that you've been able to kind of put into practice in your life to kind of just build yourself spiritually. And as I think we see this day and age, things aren't, I don't think, going well. And as this world is going downhill, the pull is for churches and Christians to just go along with it all. And we got to stand on the Word of God. And because of that, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to endure till the Lord comes back. And so I got to give you these four spiritual exercises. You got to get in fit, right? We talk about the idea of prayer. Be faithful in your prayers, committed in your prayers. Set a prayer time, right? We talk about the idea of fasting, of setting some time aside to deny the flesh, but turn around and use that as an opportunity to worship, to read your Bible, and get closer to God. We talk about the idea of study, of really setting up a regular time, of getting into God's Word. We need that more often now because there's so many lies that's out there. And how do you know what truth is? God's Word is truth. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So know the Word, study it, so we are able to defend it. We turn around, we talk about worship. Worshiping the Lord and being thankful and lifting our hearts to Him. How the idea of fellowship, how important it is for Christians to get together. We're going to talk on that a little bit. But we need each other more than ever before, right? We need that sanity check. You know, I can't help but turn around and watch the news, and I'm like, has everyone just lost their marbles? Have you felt that way? You know? And they want to turn to you and say, you're the problem. What? Right? My opinion hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed, right? We're still doing what God told us to do, and we need each other for encouragement, that sanity check, as we live in a crazy world. To give. To make a regular routine to give and serve others. Temperance, the idea of self-control, of denying ourselves for the greater good. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. And right now, the message the world is giving, you know, it feels good, do it. If you want to do it, go ahead. And the Bible warns against that. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's good for you, and you should do it. And this morning, we're going to talk about the idea of service, and when I get back from vacation, we're going to be talking about sharing, and we'll wrap up this series. But this morning, we're going to talk about the idea of service. We are called to serve. By its very nature, the church is about community. The word church means a called out assembly, right? We're called out of the world, and we're called to do what? To assemble. Well, what does assemble mean? To get together, right? We live in a day and age where so many people are just so disconnected from a church, right? And you say, well, I'm part of the universal church, right? And that is true. There is a universal church. We have brothers and sisters. We have folks here who don't go to church here because they live far away. But we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're all part of His church. But the New Testament's clear that we are to have local assemblies, to be involved in each other's lives. So we are called out of the world, but we are called to assemble. Right? Has anyone ever been to a Kia furniture place? And when you go out to Minnesota, there's this huge, by the Mall of America, which we're going to go to, so pray for me. It's like a mile by a mile, four stories tall. It's like a shopper's paradise, if you like that kind of thing. Right? You spend the whole day there. There's restaurants there. There's hotels there. That's how much people love shopping. They actually will vacation to the Mall of America. But right next to the Mall of America, there's an IKEA, which is a Swedish, I think Swedish, furniture place. And you got these, you know, so you walk through this warehouse of, and you say, oh, I like this couch. You got this huge couch. Oh, I love this couch. You order it and you go to pick it up in the front, and it comes in a little tiny box, and it comes in a million pieces. And I love this. It says, some assembly required. And what's interesting, if you've ever dealt with this, because I know a lot of the other stores are doing this too, because so much of our stuff comes from overseas, that the instructions don't have words. They just have pictures. So we've regressed. After thousands of years, we're back to hieroglyphics now. You know, and you're like, what is that? You know, what, this piece goes, and you end up with a Picasso couch or something. But, you know, right? But assemble means to get together, to put together, to fit together. The church, by its very nature, is a called out assembly. We're called out from the world to be assembled together, be interlocked and connected with each other. And how we live that out is service. Galatians says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are of a household of faith. As Christians, our part of our testimony is that we love and we serve each other. It says here, especially of those of the church. Right? That's what it's talking about, the household of faith. Fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to help and encourage, and I love this, as we have opportunity. We should be seeking out opportunities to be involved in each other's life. That I can help you, and you can help me. You can encourage me, and I can encourage you. You can pray for me, and I'll pray for you. The Bible says, we rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. To go through life's journey together as a body of believers is so important. And I cringe. You know, we have folks who are online. I'm glad they are online. But you know what? If this is only your church, that's sad. You need a local body, don't you? Aren't you glad you belong to the family of God? Amen? For the record, I heard the amens have it. All right. We need each other to be loved and cared for. Paul told the Romans, "Is therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Seeking out opportunities to edify means to lift up, to build up each other in the faith. And to do that, we need to be involved. And part of that is, as we are interacting with one another, it opens up opportunities for service, to serve one another. So real quick, I want to just go through some reasons we talk about why we serve. Why is it important, especially as a spiritual exercise? How is this going to help me spiritually in my life? And the first one is it uses our gifts. I believe the scripture is clear that all of us have unique gifts from God. We are not all different. Amen? Aren't you glad we're not, right? Imagine if everyone was like me. That'd be scary. Right? I don't want to be me some days, right? Let alone everyone, right? We are all different and all unique. You know, I grew up, hardcore fundamentalist, and everyone, we all had like these little cookie cutters. You know, you had to be a certain way, have a certain haircut, dress a certain way. And even as a kid, I wasn't normal. I didn't fit that mold. And I felt like, God, how can you use me? I went to Bible school. I remember in preaching class, we had to do, 3 points, and each point had to start with the same letter. Well, I'm dyslexic, so I mix that up all over the place, right? Well, if you notice I don't alliterate much, right? I'm very literate, how let alone try to, right? I struggled. We had to have that, and so it was like, we had every letter, every point had to, 3 points, and then you had, usually had a funny story. So you had to tell a joke. I can't tell jokes, right? And so you had this formula what a sermon was like. And we had to write our sermons ahead of time and hand it in. I can't do that. I don't have notes. Don't get me wrong, I study. Last night my daughter was like, "Dad, you got your sermon already?" I said, "Well, almost." She goes, "What do you mean almost?" I said, "It's not done until I preach it, because sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to say." Well, I have it. Make it sound like I don't do anything, right? But I study and all that. But I allow the Holy Spirit to take all that stuff I put in here and hopefully makes it sense. But we had to write out our sermons. And so what I started to do is I was doing public supply, so I would preach a sermon and then record it and then write it and then hand it in. I was doing it backwards. I remember the first time I preached in church, because we were told to stand there. and I was boring myself. Right? I mean, I was just like, I think the first time I shared in public, we had a stand like this. And so I was like this, and the teacher told us, don't move. Stand right there. And I'm like, and no fooling. I was like this, and the podium was a little loose. And so I was like hanging on to it because I didn't want to move, because that's what you're supposed to do when you preach. And so I was like this and this. And so finally by the end of it, I was preaching like this. I did. I didn't realize it because I was so hard. Okay, now don't move your feet. Move your feet. And I was like, amen? And then people are like, yeah, that's what God wanted. But I struggled because I had this image of what I was supposed to be like. And finally, one day, as I was studying and reading, God just spoke to me and said, Jed, why are you trying to be something you're not? Be who I made you. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be me. And because of that, I have gifts and abilities. And I can guarantee you, I am probably the least talented person in this room. And some of you are gifted in so many different areas. And you are unique and special to be used by Him. But all these things are used so that the church can excel, that our gifts aren't made for us. You know, there's a lot of talented people who are out there using their talents for themselves. And they take the credit and they take the glory for it. And that's not the way it should be. God gave us gifts so we can serve and be useful to others. Paul told Corinthians, says, even so, since you are zealous for gifts, right? You want spiritual gifts? Says, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Then in here, the gifts and abilities you have, God wants to use them for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the building up of His church. He uses the illustration to the Corinthians about the body. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Right? As each part of the body is unique. And he goes on and says, look, you know, is the hand the foot? Well, no. Right? Is the ear the eye? No. These are all different. And each one is valuable. I have a goal in life. And so far, I've made it 53 years so far. You know, but I do have goals. One is never to be shot at. So far, so good. We'll see how the sermon goes. All right. Right? I want to leave this world with the same parts I came with. And so far, so good. Right? All my parts are important. There's not a single part I would just want to cut off. And within the body of Christ, each one of us are important. You can say, well, I'm not as important. You know, you say, well, Pastor, you're out front. You know, you're just a big mouth. And I can't do that. Well, God's called you for something else. But it's not any less important. It's not any less important. And each part fits together. He explains this to the Ephesians. It says, from this, the whole body is joined and knitted together by every joint supplieth according to effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. But within the body of Christ, if we all do our part, great things can happen. But when the parts aren't working, and I love this, as are knit together as each one supplies, because what happens is, you know, because if you're functioning and you're doing what you're doing, that frees me up to do what I need to do. But if we're not all involved, then there's a break in that chain and the church is weak. Right? I use the illustration of the body. Right? Last week I was sitting in my chair, and I'm getting old. But I have a big overstuffed chair, and I'm famous for, I'll bring my feet up on the chair. And so, I don't know, I think I'm a teenager, but I kind of curl up in the chair, and I know it's not really masculine, but I do it. Yeah, I curl up. And so I was sitting there, and after, I don't know, it was probably about an hour I was in the chair that way, and something happened and the dog was barking and, you know, so go get the dog. So I got up and this leg was asleep. Have you done this? Right? And because the circulation had been cut off, the rest of, and so my foot felt like it was this big. And so I got up and I'm going like this, trying to get to the door because I think someone's there. The dog's going crazy. And so I'm trying to hurry up. And I'm just like that. My daughter, who's 12 years old, thinks this is the best entertainment she's ever seen. As I start hobbling and going and limping. Why? Because the blood flow was cut off. And the foot wasn't able to function because what happened up higher up. Within the body of Christ, folks, if we don't function, we don't serve, or we don't play our part, other parts suffer because of it. And sometimes parts have to do things that they're not made to do because they're the only ones available. Same thing within the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. The biggest hindrance to church growth is the lack of workers. I think it's been said that probably 90% of the work is done by 10% of the congregation. You know, I'm convinced that there's a lot of people that believe in, you know, they don't believe in the tooth fairy, but they believe in church fairies because they show up and everything's all wonderful and everything's in place and magical fairies somehow made this all happen. And then you go home and it's like, oh, well, how wonderful that was. Meanwhile, people are scrambling and trying to get things in place so that you can enjoy and worship. Things happen and function because people are involved. And folks, so much can be done for the kingdom of God if everyone just does something. And the more people are involved, the less stress it puts on, and you lighten the load. But use your gifts and talents and abilities. God left you here for a reason, to be used. I remember talking about this once, and a lady goes, I think God's done with me. And I said, God's not done with you. She goes, well, how do you know? I said, you're still here. If God was done with you, he has a retirement plan. He'd take you home, but you're here. She goes, well, I can't do what I used to do. That's fine. Do what you can. Right? I mean, you can shift. It can change. But what are you willing to do? So we serve to use our gifts. Two, here it goes, get us out of ourselves. It is so easy to become selfish. It's so easy to become self-centered in this world. And we see this everywhere, right? You deserve it. You want it. Right? And we're bombarded to do what you can to get and satisfy and to please yourself in all things. And we have such a self-centered society of everyone is watching out for themselves. And as Christians, we are called out of that. And through service, I get out of my own head and I get involved in others. And I'll tell you, that's the best therapy there is. I borrowed this from a couple of slides when we talked about the idea of fellowship. But there's like 28 commands. There's like 52, 53 verses that talk about all these one another's of the scripture. And folks, we are commanded to love one another, to serve one another, to minister to one another, to live with one another, to encourage one another, worship one another. All these things are things that we're called to do as a corporate body, not to be isolated. And I'll tell you, it does. As I go out and I serve others, as I go out and I become the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us, an amazing thing happens. He tells the Philippians, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Of putting other people first and putting ourselves last. I grew up in church, so I remember I was just a wee little tot. We learned in Sunday school that little song. I said, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, that must surely mean Jesus first, you're so laughing, others in between. See, obviously singing isn't one of my gifts. Right? But Jesus first, you're so laughing, others in between. As I serve Jesus and love others, I find fulfillment in that. Jesus warned his disciples, yet it is not be so among you. Talk about leadership and taking control and being self-centered. He says, but for whoever desires to become great among you, let him be a servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, here I am, use me. As we say, Lord, here I am, use me, one of the big ways he will use you is involved in other people's lives. Yeah, because you kind of say, oh, Lord, you know, what can I do for you? And Jesus says, okay, I want you to go. I want you to do. Oh, wait, that's not what I had in mind. Right? You want to be great in God's kingdom? Serve. Serve others. And not for the glory. You know, not to say, oh, look what I did. Reasons for service. It uses our gifts. It gets us out of ourselves. And the Bible says this is true religion. Now, it's funny because we talk about the idea of religion and religion being a bad word. And really what all religion is an acting out of your faith. It's putting your faith into action. Right? Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, yeah? How do you show it? Well, what do you mean? No, I just love him. You know, it's all in here. And Jesus said, well, no, right? You know, because you love your spouse, you do things for your spouse, right? You put that love into action. I love my kids, right? And because of that, we put that into action. James tells us pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their troubles and to keep oneself spotted from the world. So he talks about living pure lives is true religion. But also what? To visit the orphans and the widows. To serve those who need it the most. Putting your faith into action. To serve those. And the idea, especially here, talks about the orphans and widows. These are ones that can never pay you back. These are ones that you're not doing it for because, you know, some days it's going to come around. No, you do it because what? It's the right thing to do for someone who can never pay you back. John says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Folks, you cannot say you love God and not serve your brothers. You can't do it. Well, I suppose you could do it. But the question arises, how are you showing it? Right? What I have belongs to God, and God, as I give it to you, then use it. And not just for selfish gain, but for his good pleasure. And for the body of Christ. And it's not a matter of how much. It was interesting, Jesus was out preaching on the hillside, and thousands of people had showed up. The disciples came up and said, Jesus, it's getting about lunchtime. You may want to send all these guys out, you know, because we don't got nothing. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, okay, you guys, well, you feed them. How am I supposed to feed 5,000 people? So the disciples went out and went over person to person and said, excuse me, you got any food? No. You got any food? You got anything? You got anything you're willing to share? And it says that at the end of it all, he went around and he didn't find anyone who had anything except for one little boy. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? There had been people who had stuff they just weren't willing to share. You got 5,000 people? There's a few planners in there. Right? We're heading out on vacation. We're going to do a trip. Now, my daughter's already packed. She's got all set. She's like, okay, Dad, it's ready to go. My wife has gone shopping, came home, she's got the snack bag, she's got we got the bag that's to be closed in case something happens. She told me right now, because last time we went out on a trip, we got a flat tire, and I didn't realize the tire was underneath the car, and you need a special tool, and I didn't have that special little tool. I couldn't find it, so I wasn't prepared, which, surprise, right? Because that's me. You know, my daughter says, Dad, when are you going to pack? I said, when are we leaving? Well, we're leaving Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon, I'll probably throw some stuff into a duffel bag and call it good, right? You know? Got underwear for every day and a pair of pants and a shirt, and I'm set. That's all I need, right? And my wife has the list, my daughter has the list, and they're, you know, checking things off, and don't tell them this, but I'm really thankful for the list because it saved my bacon a few times because she was ready and prepared. Because I'm like, you know, I said, we're traveling, right? Wait, you know, there's stores. We can buy stuff and go through here. You know, well, you know what? We're going to have, you know, some water in the back, and we're going to be some snacks because you just never know what's going to happen. It's like, well, what could happen? Bum, 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 right? All these things, and they went around, and I imagine there are people who had things that had planned but didn't willing to share it, and they found one little boy who had some fish and a few loaves of bread. And I think of this because the faith children have is just wonderful. I imagine the disciples were, hey, does anyone have anything? This little boy came up and said, hey, I have this. And they came to Jesus and he says, look, all we have is this little boy and all these guys, you know, a few fish and a few pieces of bread, you know, we got nothing. Jesus didn't see nothing. And Jesus took that and blessed it and fed 5,000 people off what the little boy gave. Think about that. They all received a blessing off what the little boy gave. And it had nothing to do with what the boy gave. It's just that he gave. If he would have had one fish and one loaf, guess what? Jesus still would have been able to have done it. Right? It didn't matter of what he had. It was just that he's willing to give it. Use this. And Jesus did great things with it. And actually, afterwards, gathered up 12 baskets full. It was way over and above. Folks, it doesn't matter your talent, it doesn't matter how talented, it doesn't matter how much. Folks, if you are just willing, Lord, use me. Lord, this is my act of faith towards you. Lord, I will serve you. I will do what needs to be done. I'm available. And sometimes it's not glamorous. Right? And sometimes it doesn't seem to be prestigious, but it's important in God's kingdom. And I'm telling you, folks, the struggle, and I talked to so many pastors today, is in churches, people don't want to be faithful, people don't want to commit, people don't want to serve. You know, I'll get a phone call, someone say, hey, I'm thinking about coming to your church. Oh, come on. He goes, well, what can your church do for me? Right? I almost want to quote a John Kennedy. Don't ask what your church can do for you. That's what you can do for your church, right? I mean, that's... But we've lost that. And we get into that spiritual exercising of serving others. The last reason I want to look at this morning, we talk about using it as our gifts. We talk about getting out of ourselves. We talk about is it a true function of religion or a reflection of your faith. Last one, when you're serving Jesus. Right? When you are serving others, you are truly serving Jesus Christ. Paul told the Galatians, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a story. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he set up the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. He's talking about the final judgment as the nations stand before the judge, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did you see a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and or in prison and come to you? And the king answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I want to read that one more time. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You know, imagine if Jesus showed up here physically. How many of you would say, you know what, take my seat. What can I get for you, Jesus? Right? I mean, we would do everything because he's Jesus. Right? We would give him anything and offer everything to him. Jesus says, you have the opportunity to do it now by doing it to others. And I'll tell you, this is a challenging passage because these people were doing it just because they were doing it. They're supposed to do it. So I'm supposed to love and clothe and care and minister. I'm just supposed to do these things. And they were doing it for Jesus. They were just doing it because it was right. And yet Jesus is the one who makes that correlation and says, look, you've done it. You've done it to me. Now this passage goes on, and he talks about the wicked. And Jesus says the same thing. You know what? I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. You didn't do anything for me. And the wicked were like, well, what do you mean, Jesus? We didn't see you. Right? If we saw you, we would have done this. Jesus, if you were here, we would have done all these things for you. And Jesus says, no, you haven't done it for my brethren. You didn't do it to me. And I'll tell you, this is a challenging list because in service, let me ask you, when was the last time you fed someone who needed it? When was the last time someone was thirsty, you gave them something? Gave clothes? You visited someone when they were sick? When was the last time you went to a jail and said, you know, I'm going to go visit someone there? All these things. As we serve and we minister, we have opportunities all around us to serve. And Jesus says, when we do it to each other, we're doing it to him. And we have so many opportunities, folks. You know, this past year, as a church, corporately, we hooked up with the kindness program. And right now, I think the church is bringing every Friday, delivering food. I think there's like eight. Is that about right, Mark? About eight families that we help the needy. Wow, we're doing that. Not to pat ourselves on the back. We're doing that because we're doing it to Jesus. When someone needs help or needs our assistance, are we there or are we not? Folks, there are so many opportunities to serve Jesus all around us. Because the needs that are around us are so great. To minister and serve in all the capacities, whether it's from nursery class all the way up to running the computer. Mark, I was running through Mark with the computer. He goes, you need a computer geek. I said, Mark, you are the computer geek. Right? That's serving. That's ministering. Whether it's cleaning, whether it's teaching, all these are opportunities. And I'm not asking you to do something that you're not geared to because I believe you are uniquely gifted to be used. God's not going to hold you accountable for something that you can't do. But this passage is really clear. Jesus will hold you accountable for the things that you could have done and didn't. And so we serve Jesus by serving others. Let me give you a final thought. Serving allows us to put our love of God into action. Right? God, I love you, therefore I will serve you. And I will serve you by ministering to those around me. Jesus, I love you, therefore I'll go and I'll help out in the nursery. Lord, I love you and serve you. I'll help out. I'll start a teen group. Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. And because of that, you know, I'll go help someone clean their house. Oh, Lord, I love you and I serve you. And I'll go and I'll bring a meal to someone who needs it. Lord, because I love you, I serve you. We can reflect that all out. And in here, I'll tell you, as a church does that, it becomes contagious because the world's not like that. And as the world looks at the church and sees us loving and caring for each other, that's going to draw them in because we're going to have something they want. And that's Jesus. Let me leave you with this verse in John. John 13:35. By this you will know you are my disciples, if you what? If you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you go to church? No. If you give? No. If you have a big steeple? If you stand out on the street? No. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples by your love one another. And folks, through this, we are a testimony to our town, to the world, of what real Christianity is about. Spiritual fitness, I encourage you. Put it into action this week. Find ways and opportunities to serve other people. Say, Lord, here am I, use me. Because really what we're doing is serving Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. Lord, I pray you find us faithful in the opportunities you give before us, Lord, to serve you. And Lord, help us to sacrifice our time and energy for you, Lord, by serving others. Lord, we ask this in your name.